Well, we're continuing our series this morning, Summer in the Psalms. And how many of you guys have been enjoying it so far? We talked about a wide range of things. The Psalms are so encouraging. They're times of reflection. Perhaps you don't know what to pray, you don't know what to sing. You can read some of the Psalms and it just sparks a new revelation of who God is. And so it just causes these things to begin to flow. And so today the title of this one is, You're Safe in the Secret Place. You're safe in the secret place. Now, I mean, many of you know, most of you know that we have four little kids. And they're adopted from the Philippines. And they're awesome. We love our kids. And they come to work with us during the summer. So if you ever come here during a work day, you will see them running around and different things. Well, one day, I came in and I was working right there on the computer, just doing a few things. And my wife comes in a little bit later, and she asked me, "It's like, do you see Carlo?" I was like, "No, I haven't seen Carlo." And so I thought he was riding with you, you know. And so I didn't see him. And so we're looking all over the place for Carlo. And we searched the offices, we searched the bathrooms, we searched outside, we went to the thrift store, we went to the youth room, and we could not find Carlo. Carlo was hidden somewhere. This went on, I don't know, probably for a good 20 minutes or so that we could not find Carlo. And we're kind of freaking out at this point because this is not the safest place, you know, in this area. But we're like, man, you know, where is my son Carlo? And so as I guess you can hear the fact that we were starting to get frantic about it, all of a sudden Carlo pops out in the hallway. I was like, "Carlo, where have you been, son?" And he was like, "Oh, I was behind the door in Mom's office." So he was hiding. He had found himself a secret place that nobody knew existed, that nobody knew where Carlo was, but Carlo had found himself a secret place in Mom's office. Right there in that secret place, he felt that he was safe, that he was protected, that he was not in harm, and that he was hidden from everything that would seek him out. He was hidden from that thing. And so eventually we find Carlo, and we're all excited that we didn't lose our son, Carlo. What a tragedy that would have been. So in the book of Psalms, chapter 91, verse 1 through 11, it starts off, it says, "He who dwells in the shelter or the secret place of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty." Heavenly Father, we just come before you. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. God, we just pray that your word will be revealed and that you will speak to us, oh God, what you want to say. Use my lips, oh God, as your instrument, oh Lord, and God, that you will just shape us and mold us into the image of Christ, in Jesus' name, amen. And so we read the scripture many times, and perhaps you have heard the scripture many times growing up, but what I didn't realize about this scripture is that when it talks about dwelling in the shelter of the Most High, or abiding in the shadow of the Almighty, many scholars believe it was making reference to the Ark of the Covenant. And so the Ark of the Covenant abided in the temple, abided in the tabernacle. So we have a picture of the Ark of the Covenant. You can see it's basically a wooden box. It's overlaid with gold. And right above the box is a golden lid, which is also called the mercy seat. And right above the lid are two cherubims, or two angels, but they're angels stretched forth. And so their wings overshadow the Ark of the Covenant. The wings stretch out towards each other. And it was there right above the mercy seat that Yahweh, or that the God, that Yahweh is just a reverent name for God, that Yahweh would appear right there on the mercy seat. And so when the presence of God would appear right there at the mercy seat, that it overshadowed the box, the Ark of the Covenant, which was basically an earthen vessel. It was made out of wood, but it was covered with gold. But it found its place in the Holy of Holies inside of the tabernacle. Now, if we can have a picture of the tabernacle and kind of show you guys what I'm talking about. So in the tabernacle was basically a tent that was set up, and on to your right side, you have, you know, the more general place, but then off to your left is where the Ark of the Covenant rested. It was called the Holy of Holies. And only the priest, only the high priest can go into the Holy of Holies once a year. And he can only go into the Holy of Holies on this day called Yom Kippur, which was basically means the Day of Atonement, the day that he would make sacrifices and incense unto the Lord for himself and for the people. It was a holy day. And so this ark resided in the Holy of Holies. And so whenever we read the scripture, says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Every time that the presence of God would come and right above that mercy seat, it overshadowed that box. Now, that box remained in the Holy of Holies. It was not taken out unless God said, okay, we're moving, we're going somewhere, we're making war against a certain place, and the Ark of the Covenant would precede them. But that box would stay in the Holy of Holies. And then when the glory of God was illustrated or demonstrated in that particular time, guess what? That box was in the shadow of the Almighty. It's making sense? So what he's saying, look, just as this box was an earthen vessel, that we are earthen vessels. We too are made of dirt. You know, the Bible says in the book of Genesis that God formed Adam out of dirt. He formed the man out of dirt, and he breathed life into Adam. He was an earthen vessel, just as we are an earthen vessel. And we are to remain in the Holy of Holies. We are to make the Lord our dwelling place, that we are to abide in his presence. You know, in the Old Testament, it was just a glimpse of God's glory that was in this box. But in the New Testament, with the New Covenant, it says that now Jesus comes on the inside of us, and that we are the temple of God, and that we are the carriers of God's presence. And that we are to find ourselves in the Holy of Holies. We are to make that our dwelling place. And as we do, as we're dwelling in the presence of the Almighty, that we are shadowed by his glory. Amen. It's in those places that we are protected. It's in those places that all fear is gone. It's in those places, in the Holy of Holies, in those moments, that everything that is ungodly is dispelled. It's nothing but holiness. Amen. So the psalmist would rightfully say, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 2 says, I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. You know, so that this word refuge referred to rain or storm or danger or falsehood. And then this word fortress refer to more of like a castle or defense or a stronghold. Just so whether we're facing things that are inconveniences to us, or whether we're facing a real enemy that is really out to destroy us, that he is not only a refuge, but he is a fortress that we can run to. And I believe we have a picture of a fortress, what a fortress looks like. You know, if I'm in trouble, and if someone is after me, I think I would be pretty safe in this fortress, right? If I can run to this, I can find shelter, I can find protection. And that's what the psalmist is saying. Those who find themselves in the Holy of Holies, those who find themselves in the shelter of the Almighty, they find themselves in a fortress, a mighty fortress, which protects them from their enemies. He is a mighty fortress. Your family is protected whenever you're spending time in the Holy of Holies. Whenever you're spending time in his presence, your family is in this fortress. My mom was a praying mom, and I thank God for this. And because she was a praying mom, and she believed in God, and she would pray for the protection of her children, that God would keep us safe and that his angels would watch over us. And it's a good thing that she prayed these kind of prayers, because otherwise I would not be here this morning. In 1998, that's quite a long time ago. It makes me feel old whenever I just say that. I got in a pretty bad car accident after graduation, and if we have that picture, we can show that. I nearly died. The part that the cab is up, that was the only part that had survived, and that's where my head was at. I fell asleep at the wheel, I hit a parked car, and then my truck started flipping. I did like 4 flips. And then I heard the screeching brakes of another car. It sounded like it was about to run into me as well. At first, I thought I was going downhill and I was about to land into the bayou because I was, you know, from Chauvin, and so there's bayous. And so I was getting myself ready to come out of this thing. And some of my friends that I had another friend who worked at the same place. We left about the same time, and he seen my truck. He said, "Man, surely he's dead." That's how bad it looked. But let me tell you, because my mom was a godly woman, and she was a woman of faith, and she found herself in the Holy of Holies. She found herself in the presence of the Lord, and she pleaded the protection of God over her children. We have a church here today because of those prayers. Amen. Another word of advice, don't sleep and drive. It doesn't work. I laugh now, but I wasn't laughing then. It was a pretty tragic moment in my life. But you know what? Looking at this truck, it reminded me of some things what God taught me during that time. Because I was putting so much time and effort and so consumed about the rims of my truck and the stereo system inside my truck, and I had made this truck my refuge. I had made that the thing that I went to. That thing was the thing that comforted me. That thing was the something that made me somebody, was a truck. I had a truck, and not everybody can say that they had a truck whenever they were in high school. It was my refuge. God will humble you right quick and say, "That's your refuge? I'm a better refuge than that. Put your trust in me. Put your hope in me." Things will crumble. Things will rust. Things will fall apart and break and be demolished. Put your trust in me. Let me be your refuge this morning. Let me be the place that you run to. Amen. Verse 3 says, "For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from deadly pestilence." So the next point I want to bring out to you guys is that you're safe from Satan's attacks. Whenever we talk about the fowler, we're talking about a person who would hunt or kill birds, you know, wild birds. And so they would set various types of traps. And they used various different tactics to try to get these wild birds. And so once the bird was trapped, then this bird has totally lost its freedom or its ability to move. It has totally lost its purpose to fly freely. And ultimately, the end of this bird was destruction. And when we think about the fowler in a spiritual sense, we think about our spiritual enemy, Satan, our adversary, the devil, how he uses various tactics and he uses various schemes and different baits to try to get you trapped and to rob you of your freedom so that you're not able to move about and do the things that God has called you to do. And many of you shaking your heads like, "Yes, I know that to be true. I've experienced various traps of the enemy. If something doesn't work, if pride doesn't work, he'll use something else. Maybe he'll use lust." And so he'll use various tactics. Why? Because he wants to destroy us. He wants to keep us from fulfilling our purpose. He wants to rob us of our freedom. He wants us fill in the guilt of sin and shame and everything that goes along with that. He is the fowler. And the Bible says, if as we find ourselves in the shelter of the Most High, that we are protected from the fowler. We are protected from the schemes of the enemy. Amen. So if you've been attacked, you know, even in temptation with the enemy, that you need to find yourself in the secret place, that you need to find yourself, not only read your Bible, but not only pray, but you need to find yourself in God's presence. You need to push a little bit deeper. You need to find yourself in the secret place so that you will be protected from the fowler. The next thing is in verse 4, it says, "He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge." And so you are protected from the elements. I was looking at a video about a little baby, about a mama eagle, and how protective she is of her young. And we have a little picture of that, maybe not. We have some issues. And so we have this mama eagle, and in this video, they were in the midst of a snowstorm. It was cold, and you can see the snow coming down. You can see the wind blowing, and this mama eagle just simply wrapped her little eaglets underneath her. And she was just like, you know, not moving. She was like a fortress for those little eaglets. She would not move. And you can tell that even though she was discomforted, and that even though that there was times when maybe she wanted some protection herself, that she just like stood in the midst of those elements and she protected those little eaglets. I want you to know that in times of trouble, The Lord is that protection, that he is the one that covers us. And like, interesting thing about it is, like, one, that little eaglet decided that he was going to be adventurous and try to venture out of the mother's protection. And the little eaglet just grabs the little young one and pulls it back in, because that's where it was safe. That's where that little eaglet was safe, not anywhere else. And I believe the Lord does the same thing to us. Whenever we begin to wander away, whenever from his protection, whenever we begin to wander from the things that he has called us to, he says, no, I want you to come back. This is where you are safe, right here under the shelter of the Most High. Next verse, the next part of that verse says, his faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. And so I want you to know today that you're safe when you're fighting. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. So the Israelites had two different types of shields that would protect them. They had a much larger shield, which would encase pretty much their whole entire body, which they can hide behind. This allowed maybe a person who had a javelin to stand behind that shield and just hurl that javelin. But there were other shields, which was a much smaller shield. It was called, so you can kind of see in this picture, just a larger shield. It encased their entire body. But then there was this other little shield. It was called a buckler. It was round and it was small. And it was light. And it allowed more maneuverability for the combatant. So as the combatant would hold this little buckler shield, the opposing enemy, whenever they would strike with this sword, the buckler would be his protector. And it allowed for the other hand to make war. So one hand was protected with the buckler, and the other hand was making war with the sword. And so the Lord gave me this. He said, look, there are times in your life when you're fully protected with the sword, where you are covered from head to toe. But then there will be seasons that you will have to fight as well. We talked about this is how we fight our battles. There will be times where you're going to have to fight. And as you begin to fight, that the Lord is your buckler, that he is protecting you from the blows of the enemy. And that as you begin to make war, you can know that you can do so because the Lord is with you. He is your buckler. He's not only your shield in those times where you are fully protected. I believe that whenever you are first saved, that there's just like a full protection that comes over you, that the Lord just kind of keeps you like in this bubble for a while. But then after a while, he's all right, now you need a fight. And he becomes your buckler. He says, I will protect you from the blows of the enemy. Amen. Amen. Now we realize that our fighting is easy. Our fighting is just praising God and lifting him up, and really he does all the fighting. So he's protecting and he's really fighting your battles for you. He's your buckler today, amen. He'll keep you safe during a fight. Anybody ever been in a fight before? We got one or two people, three. I'll raise my hand. I've been in three fights. Verse 5 says, you will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day. You will not fear. You will not fear, you will not fear the terror of night nor the arrow that flies by day. You're safe from fear. You know, some of the terrors of night that we are afraid of, you know, some of these thoughts that are basically from our imaginations, right? We see things, we watch movies, and we watch different things. And so my kids are like, Daddy, will you pray for us at night? Why? Because there are terrors at night. They are scared of certain things. Maybe they've seen a monster on TV, and they don't want the monster to get them. Or, you know, maybe they've seen a robber in a TV show, and they don't want to be robbed. Like, Daddy, is the door locked? And all these different things, right? The terrors of night, he said, look, I will protect you even from the terrors of night. Those things that are dark and those things that are scary. You don't have to be tormented by fear. Now, fear can be a good thing. If you don't have a fear of a power line, you're going to find yourself in trouble really quick. If you do not fear that, hey, look, if I can just play and touch this power line and I'll be okay. No, you should have a healthy fear of a power line. Because if you touch it, you're zapped, you're dead, boom, that's the end of the story. So some fear will keep you alive. I'm talking about a fear that is tormenting you. A fear that torments you, that keeps you from moving forward into the things of God. Well, I don't want to do that. I'm just scared I will fail. I don't want to do that because I'm just scared what other people will think about me. I don't want to do that. I'm just scared. I'm fearful. And that kind of fear, as we find ourselves in the secret place of the Most High, and we are covered with His wings, that He dispels all fear. We don't have to be tormented by fear. We don't have to be paralyzed by fear that keeps us from moving forward. Nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. So maybe you see people who are around you are sick. Maybe people around you have had, maybe your grandparents have had high blood pressure, or they died of cancer, and they died of different things. And you see all this, you see death around you, you see sickness around you, and you're fearful that that same thing will happen to you. The Lord says that you don't even have to fear. The Lord says as you find yourself in the secret place of the Most High, you don't have to fear those things. Now, I will not tell you that bad things don't happen to good people, because I would be lying, and that would not equip you whenever bad things do happen. Job was a righteous man. He loved God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. Yet God allowed Satan to pretty much destroy his entire life. And we wonder, how can a loving God do such a thing? Well, you have to realize that this earth that we live in is a testing ground. So God was testing Job. He was testing whether Job was going to be found faithful, whether Job was still going to trust in Him, even when everything was going against him. And at the end of the story, we realize that it was not God's intent to destroy Job, because Job wound up getting more than what he started with at the beginning. The ultimate goal was to prove that Job was faithful and that he was a man who loved God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And God blessed Job tremendously. Sometimes we fear the pestilence. Sometimes we fear the thing that we're going through. We fear the disease. We fear what our parents have gone through. He said, man, that same thing is going to happen to me. No, no, no. You're to find yourself in the shelter of the Most High. You are to believe what God says about you, not what anybody else is trying to put on you. I mean, I've heard it so many times. Oh, your grandmother had this, and your grandfather had this, so you're going to have this too. No, I won't. I'm in the shelter of the Most High God. I'm finding myself in His presence. I am a carrier of His glory. I don't receive that in my life. I rebuke that right now in the name of Jesus. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You're safe from fear. You're safe from fear of death. Come on now. As a Christian, as a believer, if you see death, I remember whenever before I was a believer and before I was saved, I was scared of death, because I knew I was not living right. I knew the right way to live, but yet I choose not to live that way. I was living in total opposition to God. I was fearful to die. I was fearful to lay my head at night, because what if I died during the night? Then I was probably going to go to hell. I was scared. I was terrorized. But as a child of God, as a believer in God, I do not fear death. Death has no more sting on my life, because to be absent from this physical body is to be present with the Lord. So whenever I leave this physical body, I'm going to be with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I will see Him face to face. I have no reason to fear. I have no reason to fear anything. Why? Because we find ourselves in the secret place, under the shadow of the Most High God. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, so you see death all around you, but it will not come near you. It will not come near you. Verse 8, you will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. In other words, one day, everything that you've experienced in this earth, you're going to see God justify. You're going to see God's justice or God's judgments. For those who have wronged you, for those who have committed evil against you, they will stand before a holy and righteous God. And the psalmist says, you will see it with your eyes. But guess what? You will not experience the judgment of God, because He is your shield. He is your buckler. He is your defender. He is your protector. He will protect you now as you find yourself in the secret place of the Most High. And He will protect you then against His own judgments because you have found yourself in the secret place of the Most High. There's nothing to fear as a believer in Christ. Thank God. You have everything to fear if you're not a believer in Christ. You have the judgment of God to fear. And that is a fearful thing to fall into, my friends. Amen. If you're not living a life that is pleasing unto God, if you're not living a life that is righteous and before Him, you have every reason to fear this morning. Because you have not found yourself in the secret place of the Most High. But it is not so with believers. There, He dispels all fear. Look at verse 8. It says, you will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Verse 9. Because, here it is, people. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge. Yes. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place. What is your dwelling place? The place that you go to for comfort, the place that you go to for strength, the place that you go to get away from the storm, to get away from life's troubles. What have you made your refuge? What have you made your dwelling place? Is it the Lord or is it material things like me? You placed your refuge in that truck or that material thing, your job, your house, your ability to earn money. What has been your refuge this morning is the question. Have you made the Lord your refuge? If so, the Bible says in verse 10 that no evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague can come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. Isn't that encouraging this morning? That as we put our trust in Him, as we find ourselves in the secret place of the Most High God, that He will command angels concerning you and to guard you in all of your ways, to guard your mind from fear, to guard your mind from unhealthy thoughts, to guard your body, to protect you and your family just as He protected me and He has protected my family. And that He will be all those things to you as you find yourself in the secret place of the Most High. Would you close your eyes this morning as we close out in prayer? God, we thank you, Lord, for this word. Lord, that we are to be just as that ark, to be overshadowed by you. We are to find our resting place in your presence, oh God. Lord, you are our source of strength. You are everything that we need. God, you are all sufficient, God. So, Lord, today, for those of us who have placed our refuge in other things, God, we have placed our trust in money. We have placed our trust in our ability to make money. We have placed our trust in our education. We have placed our trust in our status. We have placed our trust in wrongfully things, God. Today we say, Lord, I want you to be my refuge. I want you, Lord, to be the source of strength. I want you to be my dwelling place. I want you, oh God. So if that's you this morning, would you just stand to your feet? We want to pray with you. If you have made things other than God your refuge, would you just stand this morning and we're just going to pray with you? Father, you see all those who are standing here this morning. And Lord, we admit and we confess, God, we have made other things our refuge. We have made other things that sacred place, that thing that was to keep us safe. But Lord, today we choose to put our trust in you. Today, we ask, God, that you would be our refuge, that you would lead us and that you would guide us. And Lord, we commit, Lord, as children of God, that we would find ourselves in the secret place and dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. So Lord, today, we thank you as we are in your presence, Lord, that you dispel all fear in our lives. Lord, for those today who have been battling and tormented by fear, God, today, it stops now. So I just come against the enemy right now. In the name of Jesus, and I just rebuke fear off of your lives. In Jesus' name, whatever is keeping you from being the man or woman of God that He has intended you to be, I rebuke it right now in the name of Jesus. Because in the secret place, you dispel all fear. In the secret place, we are protected, oh God. We choose to believe your word that you will send angels to protect us. God, we thank you for this word and we thank you for who you are. You are our protector. You are our secret place. Lord, we commit, Lord, as men and women of God, that we will find ourselves in the secret place of the Most High and abide under your shadow, O Lord. That we will carve out time from our day, Lord, whether it's a Monday or a Tuesday or a Wednesday, whatever it may be, God, that we will find ourselves in the secret place, that you would be our refuge. You will be where we run to, O Lord. Change us. Make us more like you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I just pray for everyone, God, in this place. Lord, as they run to you as their refuge, that you will be everything that they need. God, whether they need to be protected, whether they need to be comforted, God, you are our everything. We thank you, we love you, and we give you all the praise in this place. And let God's people say amen and amen.
If you were going to memorize some scripture this week, Psalm 91. Pick out the one of guarding your angels over your family, or he who abides in the shelter. But this is a good passage to memorize and to meditate on. We love you guys. We pray his angels will protect you in the thunderstorm that is above us. Amen. Talk to Allison. She's right here. Get her information if you're interested in supporting her. And we'll see you Wednesday at 6:30 in Jesus' name.